We are up to Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel, Chapter 5, Mishnah 3 of Maseches Eruvin. This first Mishnah that we're going to deal with today has to do with an extension of what we were speaking about yesterday. If you remember, what we spoke about yesterday was this concept of having two cities that were close enough to each other with the space in between, that if you basically had two car paves, right, one car pave extending from each city, then ultimately, you'd be able to consider it like one large city. So Mishnah Gimel continues with this leniency, or continues with this same notion to how we can have one magnificently large city with three individual cities, says the Mishnah as follows. And so too, when there are three villages, right, you have these three cities, whatever, that are grouped. It is interesting to note that it does say kfarm, it's villages and not cities, so maybe there is a difference. But anyways, so when there are three villages that are grouped together, imagine like a triangle shape. So if you have, just draw a triangle in your mind, and just imagine that at each point of the triangle there is one city. So basically you have two of them that are standing, two cities that are opposite each other with a giant space between them. And the third one is some distance away. The Mefarshim explained that this distance must be that it's not more than 2,000 amos. So in other words, you have city A and B that are both at the bottom base of on each, both of the bottom two points of the triangle, and then you have point C that is going to be at the top of the triangle, but that cannot be more than 2 amos away from either one of those two cities. So the Mishnah says as follows: if you have a situation like this, so if the space between the two outer villages is going to be such that if we would basically imagine that the entire third village could be transported into that space, and if we would transport this third village into this space, we would basically end up with saying that there would not be any more than 141 and a third amos on either side of the city. So again, so follow with me. So we have point A and point B. Those are two cities that are at each point at the base of the triangle of these three cities. The third city is now going to be transported in our minds to fit between the space of the two cities. So if we can fit this third city in between the space of these two other cities, and the space that will be between this third city, between each other city, is going to be, again, when we're transporting in our minds, if it's going to be less than or up to 141 and a third amos, which equals basically two car paf measurements, so in that situation, then this middle village basically can make the three of them become like one large town for the purpose of measuring to home, so that it's basically one large city, and then you say 2,000 amos outside of that city, which is a major, major leniency. Essentially, now what we are saying is, again, so now you could do 2,000 amos from any point of this entire circumference of these three city structure, which basically is enormous. So that's what this Mishnah has to say over here. This is the leniency that we have based on the previous Mishnah. Again, not everyone agreed, just a quick reminder from yesterday, not everyone agreed in this idea that you can add a Karpif to a city, and that would then allow us the ability to extend the cities, right? There was the machlokas between Rabbi Meir, who says that a regular city gets an extra Karpif around it, and then you measure the tchum from there, and then you have the chum that say no, the extra Karpif is basically to allow us to merge two cities together. So again, going up according to the opinion of the Chachamim, it seems that's where our Mishnah picks up from speaking. Now Mishnah Dalet has the fascinating discussion of how it is that we go about measuring the Tuchum, right? So we're not dealing with the digital fancy, you point the camera and you can measure exactly what the Tuchum is. They would have to use a rope. So how would they do that exactly? It's not always so simple. You imagine using a rope, you're going to use a 2,000 amma long rope. It'd be hard to come by. So let's see exactly what the Mishnah says. So Mishnah Dalet, Ein modedin ela b'chevel shel chamishim amma. We measure the tchum using a 50 amma rope, an unbelievable thing. We need to get to 2,000 amma, so we use a 50 amma rope to get us to 2,000 amma. So, you'd lay it down, and you measure 50, and then so on and so forth, until you get to 50,000. And so, but let's say you want a smaller rope, right? Reason, let's say you want a longer rope, lo pachos, you can't have a rope less than 50 amos, below your tear, and you can't have a rope more than 50 amos. It has to be 50 amos, that's what the Chacham said. Below yimdod ela keneged libo, how do you go about measuring it? Very simple, you measure with the rope being held against your chest. In other words, we don't want to have any angles. We don't want to mess around with anything. We just have each guy hold the rope against their chest, and they're standing on either end of it, and therefore it's going to basically be the same height and not at any angle whatsoever. Let's say you have two people who are of different heights. That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure what the answer of that is, but I guess the point is, again, you know, you do the best you can. We don't have to be a machine-like measurement. Can't be the Torah Kadosh would command us to have a machine-like measurement, because there were no machines. They did the best they could. So each guy would be holding the rope against his chest and connected his heart, and that's how they would measure. And then once they do the first 50, they'd go on for the second 50, and so on and so forth until they reach 2,000 amos. But now we have the following issue. That's very nice if all the land is flat, but what if the land wasn't flat? What if you had the situation where when the guys were measuring, they reached some sort of a valley or some sort of a pile of stones or something from a collapsed fence or something like that. So in other words, what the valley means that it's going to be a dip, and what the pile of stones means that it's going to be like a hill or something like that. So Mavlio, what happens is that he measures in a way that's a fascinating language that absorbs, it's like swallows up the slopes of the valley or the fence, meaning he measures in a straight line over them. No matter what happens, he's going to measure in such a way that the rope's not going to be the distance is not going to be lessened, because imagine you have like a valley, so it's going into the valley. That means you're going to limit the ultimate length, because it has to go down the dip and up the dip again. So what do? You just make a straight line across from it, and that's how you measure that area. But says the Mishnah, what happens, this is all implicit, what happens if he needs to go away from this area, meaning it's just too complicated, he can't really measure like this, so he has to go somewhere else, but parallel to this area, but just, you know, some distance in another direction, he's allowed to do that. V'chozer l'midas, when once he does that, he's allowed to do it, but he needs to go back to the original line that he started from the city, and he just needs to go back to this original line when he is able to. So basically, when he reaches this place that he can walk back to, the even ground that is directly opposite the city from where he was going, so he's chozer l'midas. So he returns to this original line of measurement and then continues measuring from there. And then he gia lahar mavlio, the same idea. Let's say he reached a mountain when he was measuring the tchum, so it's not exactly a pile of rocks, but it's a mountain or something like that. So if he reaches this mountain, so the same idea, mavlio, that he just allows that he measures in a way that absorbs the size of the mountain, meaning he basically just measures over the top of the mountain, you know, in a straight line. The chozer l'midaso. And if the hill is like so big that he needs to move, so again he moves away, and then he returns back to his original line of measurement when he can. However, just a quick important note that the Mishnah mentions over here, and that is that if you move away from this area, I mean, it's like too complicated to measure, so you have to move away. So you can move away to a parallel location, but that area must be within the area of the tchum. Meaning, so we know that we have 2,000 amos in every direction, and we make a square around a circular circumference, so it needs to be still within the tchum, this parallel area. If it's not, then you can't use that. You have to figure out a way to measure it from here in the exact location of the valley or the hill. And im inu yachol lahavlio, but let's say you say, okay, very nice, if you have a valley, okay, short little, a dip, so fine, so it's not such a big deal. Or if you have a short little hill, whatever, it's not such a big deal. But what happens if you have a Mount Kilimanjaro over here? So Mount Everest. So let's say he's not going to go to the top and measure like that. That would be crazy. It's just impossible. He's not able to do that in that way. Bazo amar Rabbi Dostai bar Rabbi Yanai Mishum Rabbi Meir. So for this situation, Rabbi Dostai bar Rabbi Yanai said the name of Rabbi Meir, the Shamati Shem Mekadrin Beharim. This is a fascinating idea. We'll have to explain this slowly. So basically, he says, I heard from my teachers that we make a hole through the mountain. Unbelievable. You're going to make a burrow through the mountain, and that's how you're going to figure out the measurement. So what does this mean? The times of the Mishnah, they have the technology to make a hole through a mountain, through all of Mount Everest. That sounds hard to really understand. So basically what the Mefarshim explained is as follows, that the way this works over here is that if you imagine the slope of a mountain, and we've been saying that you have one person who is standing and holding the rope from his chest, and that's how he's measuring. But and he basically is measuring from chest to chest. But over here, what the explanation is that you have to measure in such a way that it's as if you bored a hole through the mountain. And how do you do that? So the Mefarshim explained that you have this one guy. He holds the rope to his chest. He then brings the rope parallel to the mountain itself. He brings the rope up to the mountain, and it needs to go up to the feet of like the guy holding it on the next step. So basically, just imagine like a series of steps going up the mountain, all right, a virtual set steps. The guy holds it against his chest. The rope then goes as far, closes it can to the mountain in a straight line. Then that's where the guy puts his feet from the next standpoint, and then he stands in that exact place where the rope reached, and then he again puts the rope at his chest and keeps measuring like that, so on and so forth, until he gets to the top of the mountain. A little complicated, but that's the basic idea. It's as if he makes a staircase out of the at the surface of the mountain virtually, and he takes the measurement of each of the steps, and then he ends up, according to the Farshim, basically that's like boring a hole through the mountain, and then that's how you do it if you can't reach the top of the mountain by just going over it with a rope, because that would be too hard in some situations. Seems like, though, at the end of the day, he does need to climb up the mountain, so I guess if Mount Everest is part of Yir Tuchum, then you do need to climb Mount Everest to figure out how far the Tuchum goes. Probably, I would assume that Mount Everest is probably 2,000 almost in and of itself, but okay. In general, that's how it works. He can either measure it by holding over a rope over the entire surface of it and straight, or if he can't do that, then he can just make this like staircase formation and measure in that way. So that brings us to the end of Mishnah Daled, and God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Hey, but for now we'll stop right here.